421.
Adopt the fiscal year 2014-15 spring supplemental budget and make other budget-related changes.
Mr. Scott, team, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Andrew Scott, City Budget Director, and we're here this morning to talk about the fiscal year 14-15 spring budget monitoring process, or BUMP. I will be relatively brief. We had a work session on this last week where we covered in detail some of the items in this BUMP, but just to give a high-level summary again for those who are here, and the spring BUMP again is when bureaus make final allocations, movements within their budgets. They ask for carryover, compensation set aside, and a number of other mostly housekeeping items, and then also funding can be allocated from the general fund contingency. So again, just to briefly cover what is in the BUMP before you today, six bureaus are going to be budgeted to receive compensation set aside totaling about $5.9 million. Again, this is part of the bureau budget, which is budgeted separately. We wait till the end of the year to see if they need it. These six bureaus requested it and are, in fact, recommended to get that $5.9 million. There's about $1.4 million coming back to the general fund, again, due to some underspending on some transportation projects, underspending in the Office of Emergency Communications, a reimbursement on the campaign finance fund, and then a return of some street fee implementation funds. there are several new items totaling about $1.1 million that have been included. And again, we covered those in the work session last week, but they are in exhibit number four as part of this, as part of your documents in front of you. And again, happy to talk about any of those if there are additional questions. And finally, about $5.1 million is included for program carryover from bureaus. Again, these are projects that were allocated or appropriated in this current fiscal year that bureaus weren't able to get to and are requesting to carry that over into the next fiscal year. Finally, just in terms of overall contingency, I believe we started the BUMP process at about $900,000 of unrestricted contingency, and we're going to end at about $1.1 million of unrestricted contingency. Again, some of those funds coming back will actually increase our contingency a little bit. And then there will still be $2.3 million in compensation set aside in case anything bureaus discover anything in the next month before the over-expenditure ordinance. And then again, $5 million in program carryover. And then finally, in terms of overall position changes, a grand total in this BUMP, we add about 40.2 FTE. 39 of those are in the Bureau of Development Services, which again is experiencing a large increase in workload as development in the city increases. And with that, I will just take any questions.
Questions for Mr. Scott or Mr. Campuzano?
So are there changes compared with the work session last week?
Well, I have a motion about the cycling master plan, so that will be a change. I think you have a proposed amendment, too.
Changes.
So other than that, I think the answer is no, right?
No other changes.
How about the positions in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement?
Where is that, Andrew?
The marijuana permitting program, $14,200, is included.
Yes, that is.
Right.
And
okay.
How about the other position that was related to the move of the new...
The staff upgrade related to the new Portlander program?
Yes.
Is also included, yes.
Included as well.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Those came out of the work session, I think, right?
Yeah. So were there other changes that came out of the work session or just those two?
Sorry, I'm trying to remember.
Two.
Do you want me to walk quickly through the new requests?
Wouldn't hurt.
Sure. No, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do that again. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the version we went over last Tuesday. So very quickly in terms of the new requests that came in from bureaus, the Bureau of Emergency Communication asked to retain their underspending. That is not currently included. So, again, that $411,000 will fall to general fund balance at the end of the fiscal year. And, again, it's part of that increase in contingency we talked about. Plan and sustainability, there's $150,000 included for the single dwelling development code project. In ONI, the two packages we just mentioned, a small amount for the new Portlander program and marijuana permitting program. Last Thursday, request for costs in the mayor's office is not included, the $3,500. There is $255,000 for streetcar system improvements. And again, transportation was returning about $230,000 of underspending. So again, this is going back to them now for a different project to improve, make some streetcar improvements in the city. $68,478 for the Housing Bureau for severe weather shelter expenses. $126,000 to extend women's shelter capacity through the end of the fiscal year. $150,000 in housing for veterans housing assistance, again, to get that program started. Or actually, I think it is started, but to continue those efforts at the end of this fiscal year. $20,500 for parks for the decorative fountains repair. This is at the Ira Keller Fountain.
That's great, yeah.
$45,000 request for tree code implementation. There's not funding included for that in Parks Bureau, nor for the Parks Ranger request, the $198,000. There is $350,000 for the off-road cycling master plan, and finally a small amount for membership and dues to keep us on budget there.
Thank you.
All right. So that's the list as it came out of the work session, and we can take motions on amendments. I have one, which is a technical change, but actually it's more than that because it's also the $50,000 issue for parks. So I think the language that I want to put on the table is if the Bureau can't encumber, here's the motion, to amend Exhibits 1 through 5 to reflect the funding and carryover of the $350,000 for the off-road cycling master plan currently funded entirely in Portland Parks and Recreation to be split between Portland Parks and Recreation at $50,000 and the bulk of the funding assigned to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability at $300,000 because they'll issue the RFP.
Second.
Second on that motion. Further discussion on adopting that motion, then we'll take testimony on everything, of course, after we deal with motions. So, okay, roll call on accepting that amendment.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, done. And did you want to bring up the other item?
Thank you. Yes, I have a motion to increase Bureau expenses in the general fund for Portland Parks and Recreation by $45,000 for tree code implementation. This amends Exhibits 1 through 5 as appropriate. The additional appropriation will result in a decrease in general fund contingency.
Second.
So you want to discuss that? I'm still unwilling to approve this now because of the same thing with the Ranger issue. I'm still working on the mayor's proposed budget. If it's BDS positions where they're funded by fees, or if it's expenditures for consulting contracts like this master plan or materials and services, doing that in the bump is fine because we don't, in effect, pre-program what we do in the fiscal year budget. I would be worried about adopting either of those items now because it is, if we don't include those positions in the fiscal year 15-16 budget, then what have we done? We've hired somebody for a month. So,
on the other hand, if we don't approve them, then the staff that are currently working can't go on vacation this summer. But I think Commissioner DeSaltzman's intent and mine was to not vote on this amendment today, but rather put it on the table for discussion and then vote when we have the full council next week.
Okay. Well, we can wait that long on the whole bump? I'm not sure. It's on the calendar today, so.
So the Budget Office did confer with our office, and in terms of proposing an amendment, you have to vote on the amendment in order for the bump to pass to a second reading. What you could do is propose the amendment next week, but then, of course, that would then put you out another week.
Okay. Well, I'm not willing to approve the amendment today, so.
So I believe I will have the votes for the amendment next week.
That may be.
So that would, we can either, if we're not voting on it today, then we would then have to extend it out another week if we vote on it next week.
Yes.
Well, I'd be certainly willing to, you know, table the amendment and let you bring it back next week, or whatever the process is. In other words, we don't have to vote now. We can vote now, and I will vote no, and it will fail.
Will it fail, Commissioner Saltzman?
Well, it has to have three votes. So I understand we don't have a full quorum, and I don't want to trap you in that problem, but I'm not willing to support it for the reason I mentioned. So.
Okay, so we can carry it over until next week.
Can I just ask one thing we weren't able to clarify? Is there a problem from the Budget Office perspective with having the vote on the bump not occur next week but the week after?
No, I think from a process standpoint it's fine.
Okay, so we will have accepted one motion, one amendment for purposes of public testimony. We won't have acted on the next amendment yet, but we're free to act on that next week.
So there'll be public testimony next week?
At least on the amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that work for everyone? All right, thank you both. We'll see who's signed up or who's interested in speaking on this set of proposals. As you may, hopefully it made sense to people, but we do this process a couple times a year in which we revise our adopted budget. We call it the BUMP because it stands for Budget Management Management Process, arcane term at best. But the point is we do adjust our budget over the course of the year because bureaus don't spend all the money they have, or there are unforeseen requirements or requests, or with things we want to get started on early, and that's very much the case with the Bicycle Master Plan, where we want to get started on it early. So for anyone who wants to speak on any of those items, Carla's got a list, and if you're not on it, you're free to add yourself to it.
We do have 13 people signed up. We've had someone ask to come up who has a child.
Okay, come on up. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Council. My name is Daniel Greenstadt. Before I get upstaged by the next speaker, I'm just here to offer my support and thanks for the budget that's being considered here today, and for the inclusion of funding for the off-road bicycle master plan. I think that's going to be a really important step. My family really enjoys hiking, biking, and recreating in our public parks, and we would love to have more opportunity to do that by bicycle. So we're really, really happy to see that issue moving forward, and just wanted to give a big thank you and a big show of support for that.
Thank you very much.
And speaker number two.
Good morning.
Anything you want to say to the mayor or anybody?
My daddy and me want more trails. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you very much.
and apple juice and all the drinking fountains. Thank you very much.
That may be a little harder to manage. Thank you. Okay, next folks that are signed up
are George Devendorf, Andrew Jansky, and Joe Carpenter.
Good morning.
Good morning. That is a tough act to follow,
but
nevertheless. Yeah. My name is George Devendorf. I'm the Executive Director of Transition Projects, and I just wanted to come here this morning to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and Commissioner Saltzman, and the Council for its continued support and leadership on behalf of the city's most vulnerable. And in particular, I'm speaking to your support for shelter off the street options for women who are experiencing homelessness, and also for support to housing options for veterans and for their families. With regards to women's sheltering, by transitioning what has been a women's winter shelter to a year-round women's emergency shelter, the city will be helping to provide continued assistance and, frankly, safety for up to 700 women. We've seen 700 women already since mid-November in the shelter that we operate with the city's support. That's a shelter that has been running at capacity every night since we opened it. So we know the need is there. We're grateful for that support. In addition to helping protect vulnerable women living on the streets, this also provides a platform to work with them towards their goal of attaining sustainable and secure housing going forward. With regards to veterans and their families, as you know, as a community, we're very lucky to have a substantial amount of federal support through supportive services to veteran families, $2.5 million. But it requires additional funding at the city level to leverage those dollars most effectively and help us drive towards our common goal, which, of course, is to end veteran homelessness, functionally speaking, by the end of this year. That's going to be a tough effort. We believe it's attainable, but it will be all hands on deck, and we're very grateful to count all of your hands on that deck as well. Clearly, both of these programs are programs that will require ongoing support as the new fiscal year comes, and we look forward to working with you as that process unfolds to make sure that we're spending those dollars in the best possible way. So thank you all for your support.
Thank you for your partnership. Thank you. Good morning. Who's next?
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Andrew Jansky. I'm the Northwest Trail Alliance Advocacy Chair. I also volunteer organizer for the Northwest Trail Alliance Take a Kid Mountain Biking Day event that happens every year. Last year we had 300 people. The year before that we had 200 people, and the year before that we had 100 people. The picture here is a graduate of one of these events. She was here too. She was a customer too at the event. So basically, demand is growing, and the problem is there's no place to ride a bike in Portland on trails. So, you know, to people like you and I, a year is nothing. To an 8-year-old kid, a year without a trail is like a lifetime. 1 year in her time is a long time. So to fix this problem, me and my Northwest Trail Alliance friends, many are here and that you're going to hear from, we built 3 miles of trail up in the gorge called Easy Climb, specifically for families to go up and go biking on trail. We put 2,000 hours into it already, and we have done it for zero cost, essentially free. So there's a labor pool of people that are willing to do this. Unfortunately, we have to go to Cascade Locks to create this because so far there hasn't been a lot of opportunities. And so I just wanted to commend the mayor for finding the money and immediately prioritizing this off-road cycling master plan, and greatly thank the commissioners for working with everyone to make it happen. And I really look forward to an open and non-biased planning process to get through this. Today we're starting to recapture a community, the community of off-road cyclists, and to start heading in a positive direction and start making some change. So anyway, with that, thank you very much. It's we're really looking forward to it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to address the council. My name is Joe Carpenter. I'm also on the NWTA board, Northwest Trail Alliance, and I'm here to extend my personal appreciation as a mountain biker for the last 25 or so years for the inclusion of the $350,000 towards the off-road cycling plan that's included in the bump process. Portland is a wonderful city. It's known throughout the world as a cycling city for many of its policies and innovations in terms of cycling. But what the world doesn't know is that, curiously, we don't have any off-road cycling within our city limits. It's unavailable. We get questions from the NWTA. People, visitors coming here all the time, this is such a great cycling town, where can we go ride? And we tell them, get in your car and go drive an hour. Because that's the real option that they have. And we have world-class facilities, such as Easy Climb, such as Sandy Ridge, Stubbs Stewart. You know, we're doing a huge trail build out there, and they've welcomed us with open arms. But we don't feel that love from the city that we live in. And I'm grateful that we're making progress towards fixing some of that oversight that has happened throughout the years. I was looking at my way over here earlier to see that the bicycle was invented in 1817, almost 200 years ago, and it's about time that we include off-road cycling here in Portland, hopefully before we get to that anniversary. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all. Okay, next three.
Next three are Ron Strasser, Aaron Bernay, and Bruce Lyles.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am Ron Strasser, and I've lived in Portland for like 42 years since my college job brought me here. Grew up in Eastern Oregon, and I have to say that I remember riding on really hot asphalt as a kid on my bike, and the fun didn't begin until we got to the end of the asphalt and rode in the dirt around the sagebrush. No hills. But I'm thinking of the kids, and I also worked for like over 30 years as a custodian with kids, and it's just so amazing how much fun they can have on their bikes. Of course, they have fun walking around and playing games too, but you know, and having that available is the key, because not everybody has the economic ability to travel for an hour and a half in a car with their bike. So I think that's really important for sustainability and actually fossil fuel use. So it all kind of comes together within that. But all this stuff can be done in a way that really doesn't harm the environment, or does so minimally compared to so many other things that society does. And I'd like to even ride a trail in Portland with a hill. I like to climb hills. I'm a little more dainty going down hills, but the physical activity that you get on a bike is just unbelievable. It's very body friendly. As fat tires have come into play and my body has gotten older, I really appreciate those a lot more than I do narrow hard tires. So with the society growing and coming together here in Portland in the sense of population growth, I think we need to give options to people now and in the future to get exercise and live healthy lifestyles. That's really what I want to say.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Morning.
Good morning, Council. Thanks for your time. My name is Aaron Byrne. I'm the Vice President of the Northwest Trail Alliance. I want to start by thanking Mayor Hales for recognizing the need to identify some legitimate places to ride our bikes in the city. I moved to Portland because of its reputation as a bike town. I moved to Portland because of its reputation as being a place that accepts and welcomes people for who they are. I came here because it was a place of inclusion, intolerance, and open communication. While attending law school at Lewis and Clark, one of the highlights was taking a lunch break and riding my bike at Riverview. I spent every single lunch riding my mountain bike in between law school classes at Riverview. Even more incredible was seeing some father-son duos in there riding their bikes, and I thought to myself, wow, I cannot wait to share that same experience with my kids in Portland. I want to emphasize my support for your plan, Mayor Hales, for prioritizing the off-road cycling master plan, and I really appreciate the commissioner's support in that. Right now, there's a dearth of trail access in Portland, despite the thousands of wooded acres that are within our city limits. This needs to change, and the mayor's new direction in supporting the mountain bike trail access is a deep breath of fresh air for me. The Northwest Trail Alliance, as you've heard, is a group of positive, eager, willing people who can invest lots of funds. We have very good fundraising capabilities and a lot of volunteer hours to preserving nature, to keeping nature a safe place within the city limits, to adding trail access to families, and it's all at no cost to the city. We're here. We have funds. We have people. We want to take care of nature, and we want access to it as well. I hope this plan that you guys are looking at will identify some places in Portland for the large cycling community to access nature, and I look forward to an open and non-biased planning process. I look forward to having a cooperative and healthy relationship with the city. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Bruce Lyles, living on Hayden Island, and this is my first time speaking for council.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. Can I speak to agenda items in general, or do I need to stick to the trails?
Not anything on this budget proposal, so you bet.
Thank you, and I'm going to do it with song. It's just out of desperation. I play under the name J. Bruce 38, but this is a song in celebration of your five-year-old selves that sat around a campfire, and you moved around that campfire, and that smoke, whenever it came back to you, you figured out something. You said, and I'll shorten this song because it goes on forever, but I'm going to be under my time.
Okay, you only have time, right?
We can't breathe what we burn. No, 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 we can't breathe what we burn. For crying out loud, when we gonna learn that we can't breathe what we burn? King Cole takes his shovel and he shovels up the ground. Shovels up so much that there's nothing left around. Then he drag his drag line another 20 miles and counts up all his money with his cancer calls and smiles. Then he take the black rock and breathe it in the air. Gets up in the wind and it goes everywhere. Comes back down to earth and we breathe it in our lungs. Poisons everybody, especially the young. And the wrongest part of using this type of energy is sending men below the earth by those that are greedy. Cut back on expenses and the safety of the mine. And if they kill somebody, they only pay a fine. We've got to change our course, new way of doing things. Yes, I'm talking solar water and the winds of change. Got to change our course and we've got to do it fast. You want to make the same mistakes, then start with biomass. Oh, this song has got to end, and so does burning fuel. We've got the technical knowledge that we should start to use. I know we'll get it right, and it'll happen when we learn that we can't breathe what we burn. Oh, we can't breathe what we burn. No, 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 we can't breathe what we burn. For crying out loud, when we gonna learn that we can't breathe what we burn? JBruce38@JBruce38.com. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Did you write that?
Yes.
That's well done. There's a guy named Guthrie who I think may have influenced you a little bit. I hear that echo. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Okay, next three.
Kelsey.
Another hard act to follow. I mean, we've got two hard acts to follow already this morning.
Kelsey Cardwell, Linda Nedekoven, and Carolyn Bates, I believe is the last name. That's Bateson. That's Kelsey Cardwell, sorry.
Good morning.
Hi.
Go ahead.
So, you want me to go first? Sure. So, I'm Carolyn Bates, and I'm the manager of the homeless program at the Portland VA. And I'm here mostly just to say thank you to the City of Portland for all the support that we've felt through the 25 City Initiative, the Mayor's Challenge to End Veteran Homelessness. I've had the privilege of being in this role for about 3 years now, and the amount of support that the Portland VA feels from the City of Portland is pretty amazing. And it's at all levels. It's the nonprofits that we work with. It's Sally Erickson at the Portland Housing Bureau. It's the mayor's office. It's Mark Jolin at the county and all the county commissioners. So, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. So at the Portland VA, we've had a tremendous amount of resources that have come to us at the national level, but our resources are staffing. And so what we bring to this community are, you know, lots of social workers and housing specialists and a psychiatrist and an occupational therapy and those types of things. And but we can't do everything else that's involved in getting the all the housing vouchers and in use, and also just getting all the veterans that are out on the streets or in marginal housing housed properly. So we really rely on our partnerships and the creative way that the community has kind of helped us to figure out what the barriers are and to help rally resources around getting this job done is profound, and it's also extremely helpful. So I just wanted to come here and say thank you.
Thank you. I think what Commissioner Saltzman and I have experienced so far in this partnership, not only with Home for Everyone, but with the VA, is that we really do have a cohesive effort of agencies and nonprofits and everyone involved to try to meet this challenge of getting our veterans inside. So thank you for being a good partner.
I've been in the VA for over 20 years, and I've always worked with community partners, but it's always been much more siloed. And what this program has allowed us to do is to really see ourselves as part of the community and not the federal government versus the local government. So it's been really very, very, very lovely. So thank you.
Morning, Linda.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Linda Nedekoven, and I'm here this morning just to speak in support of the single-family code development package. Wanted to thank you. It sounds like you're already supporting it in the bump. I wanted to stress the urgency of the situation. You know the details of what's in the proposal, but I think that this, if it's done well, is also an opportunity to be one of our tools for dealing with displacement and demolition, furthering that conversation and expanding it. As you know, homeownership is the way that most families acquire and pass on wealth across generations, and certain segments of our community are kept from being able to do that. having a range of housing options within our single-family neighborhoods that doesn't undermine the character of those neighborhoods would allow more opportunities for more people and still have people keep their sense of place and home in the process. Also, I'll be quick. I wasn't able to be at your budget hearing on Monday because I was at the Affordable Housing Summit, which is also a great concern to many of us. And I just want to support the others. I'm a longtime member of the Planning Bureau Budget Advisory Committee and want to support their request on the budget for historic inventory review. I think that's also a great community development effort, that it can be done in a way that help people sort of reconnect with their neighborhoods in a broader way as they start to look at, assess their resources. And historic resources, of course, are not, is not all about architecture. It's also about cultural heritage. And sometimes cultural heritage comes in funny little nondescript packages, but is still worth saving and acknowledging. And if we don't do something with this 30-year-old index, which only includes one property east of 82nd as being of any value historically, we are going to be in danger of losing things that matter to people and, again, create that sense of place. And if you value your place, you take care of it, and you continue to improve it. So this piece is also really important. And, of course, please let's hurry and finish the Central City Plan. I know we put extra resources onto the Central East Side, the Southeast Quadrant, which I've also been working with. But we need to finish that process in a meaningful way and as quickly as we can. So those three pieces of planning requests, I think, are all really important, and they all tie together. And the last piece is, for me, living close to a corridor that's undergoing rapid transformation, that is division, please don't make us wait till 2019 for some meaningful role in the design. It's, the problem isn't density as much as it is design in our community, and we have to find a way to address that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And obviously, we want to get this moving quickly, and because this change is upon us.
Yes.
It's going to take a lot of volunteer effort by people across the city, some of whom, like you, already put in a huge amount of time as volunteers, but this is really important. So I hope we can not only get a little bit more of your time, but also get a lot of people involved in this, because it's a tricky issue of how do we change our code in a way that preserves the character of neighborhoods, but also still allows reasonable redevelopment in places that most of us would agree it's okay. And there's a lot of judgment calls in there.
Yes, and that's why I'm so concerned about sort of the immediacy of it, because we're wasting so much good civic energy fighting with each other as opposed to having a common vision and pulling together to try to solve problems. And if we can come up with an approach that feels fair to at least most people, we can, I think, save a lot of time and energy for the things that really matter.
Good point. Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Kelsey Cardwell. I'm the president of Northwest Trail Alliance, and I'm here to thank you on behalf of Northwest Trail Alliance's 1,000 members and the nearly 3,000 people who signed our petition requesting money for an off-road cycling master planning process. I first moved to Portland a few years ago for the same reason a lot of my peers and friends did. We're ambitious young professionals who want to be in a vibrant city where there's a lot of opportunity to grow our careers. But then the other thing is that Portland is a gateway to the outdoors, and it's unique in that it can provide both of those things to us. Outdoor activities like hiking, trail running, surfing, skiing, cycling, which you can't really find in a whole lot of other cities within an hour of a city around the U.S. They keep us happy, healthy, and connected to the outdoors, even when we're pursuing careers in a city. But all too often, things like lack of a car, lack of income, or lack of a network can get in the way of pursuing those recreational activities outside of work. Portland has all the tools to become a renowned city for off-road cycling and provide that for its community within the city, that kind of access to the outdoors. I really look forward to working with the city and with the thousands of advocates, hundreds of trail builders, a diverse set of community groups that would want to join this conversation, and the hundreds of bike businesses around Portland in starting work on this plan. We all look forward to a fair and balanced approach that honors the spirit of public involvement. I'm really excited to get to work, and I thank you again for supporting this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
The last two who signed up are Shannon Singleton and Tamara DeRitter.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Welcome. And you want to go first, or Tamara?
Sure.
Tamara, go ahead.
I am Tamara DeRitter. I'm the chairman for Arroyo City Park Neighborhood Association. Thank you for letting us speak today, or me speak today. I wanted to tell you our sincere support for the Single Family Development Code project that you have in the bump on behalf of the Arroyo City Park. We had a visioning workshop last night on livability at our neighborhood and attracted 60 people. And infill was the top issue by far. And so as Linda was mentioning, the issues are, you know, dealing with adjusting the building envelope because we're getting these supersized houses that are really not affordable to most people. And I understand the need for that type of housing as well as the fact that it blocks the solar access. So, you know, how can we build solar access credits into this discussion? Also, we're dealing with split lots, and a lot of property owners don't know they have a split lot. That means their property is on the market right now. People want to take those houses down and build two houses on those lots, and most of the neighbors don't know that exists. Also, skinny lots. The question is, how skinny is too skinny? 25-foot wide lots are a bit too skinny, and I think that's a real issue because of the design ends up being a shoebox, and many people don't get along with that. But if you can make that into a common house, I mean, with a common wall, make it into a townhouse, people will accept that much better. But these are things that we need to talk about in a balanced discussion with the infill task force. And bringing people together from all walks of life and building a common language and an acceptable process will speed it along for both the neighborhoods as well as the developers. So we can't do this quick enough. Also about infill, I am helping out Southeast Uplift, Central Northeast Neighbors, and North Portland Coalition in an infill expo. And it's going to be an infill and affordable expo on June 4th at the German American Society right on Sandy Boulevard. And we are trying to gather all the different folks that have been talking about gentrification, affordable infill, all of those people to come to the and set up a table so everyone has a chance to see what is happening, get some ideas, and then come to the table with the infill task force and bring those ideas up.
That's great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate you organizing that, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Shannon Singleton. I'm the executive director of JOIN, and I'm here today to thank you, the council as a whole, for the support on the money for ending veterans' homelessness. And additionally, I want to specifically thank Mayor Hales and Commissioner Saltzman for your leadership with Home for Everyone. The commitment of these dollars allow us the opportunity to house folks immediately when opportunities present, which is not the situation that happens with some of the longer-term vouchers. So this support and these dollars are vital to our work. I also want to ask for your continued leadership as we seek to recruit additional landlords in the private rental market. It is taking the JOIN team about 2 to 3 times as long to secure units. And as we move through Home for Everyone and seek to increase the availability of landlords for affordable housing, we're asking for your leadership in that, to bring people to the table, to support financial resources needed to maintain those relationships, and to align the city's affordable housing development with ending homelessness goals. So that's our ask at this point. And again, thank you for your commitment to this work.
Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate your partnership. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak on this item? Okay, come on up, please. Got 3 chairs. Come on up.
Good morning, Council, Mayor. My name is Stephen Entwistle, lifelong resident of Portland. also a member of Individuals for Justice, also executive director and founder of the Healing Man, Oregon Healing Man Sanctuary, which is OHM. Anyway, we like these trails built in the parks, would give, as the former testimony of the citizens has requested. I think this is a great idea. I think it's a little overdue, but time has come. My concern is who's going to be working, doing the labor on these trails? Is this going to be contract labor? Is this going to be city labor? Is this going to be out-of-state labor? I have a suggestion. There's a lot of houseless folks that could use some work right now, because nobody is hiring houseless folks, as far as I know. And there's a lot of folks out there that are desperate, that really need, and they would love to be away from the city, out helping build trails. We need to have a task force that gets people motivated and they can take ownership into the park. And I think this is a great idea. I don't think it's going to be as difficult or as problematic as some people might think or try to impose. I think this could be very cooperative with the city and the houseless. And I would recommend that you look into it and take a hard look at trying to get some of the houseless folks to work. And it would be really easy because they wouldn't have to commute to the job. They can be right there. We can have a supervisor take them up and put them to work. It just seems to me that that would be a very constructive thing to do, and it would be good for the future of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for having me. My name is John Dabby Campbell. I'm lucky enough to be on the board of directors of the Northwest Trail Alliance, and I just do a lot of varying trail work with parks and in the city. I'd like to say that growing up in the city, the big city, having dirt, places to go on our bicycles for bored kids was everything. You can go on your bicycle down. We used to ride, thinking now 5 miles away from home, we'd be out on the street. And that's a long ways now, you know. But we had dirt right next door. We could stay there. And I really think that it's important to kids growing up to have inner city dirt, dirt in the neighborhood. You know, transition from the backyard to the park or to the woods, then onto the road or the trail, whichever they choose to develop as a riding style. So, and I'm very happy that we, City of Portland, are going to have this opportunity to have more trails in general. And I like to say mountain bike trails. We hear mountain biking, but these trails are not just going to be mountain bike trails. They're going to be more trails in general, which is what we need. So thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, thanks for this opportunity to speak before the council today. My name is Dan Kaufman. I think this is my second or third time speaking in front of you, and appreciate it. First of all, I want to echo and agree with just about everybody who spoke here today on the various different issues. I haven't heard anything that I disagree with. So in terms of how do we develop our neighborhoods, how do we deal with the issues of veterans' homelessness in general, all of the different subjects. So I really appreciate everybody who came here and spoke today. I really wanted to echo what Dabby Campbell just was talking about with children having access. I have three sons. Their ages 7, 12, and 15. I don't feel that most of the roads are safe for their ages, especially the 7 and 12-year-old. 15-year-old's now riding his bicycle to Cleveland High School, and I feel more comfortable with that. But I think 30-mile-an-hour roads in general are just too fast, especially for younger children. And so kids need I think, off-road ways to get there all throughout the city. So not just the recreation opportunities in the parks, but ways for children to be off-road, on trail is a very inexpensive way to do that. And so I really appreciate that we're now looking at this as a city and want to really promote that all throughout the city, east side, north, southeast, northwest, all throughout the city to do this. And perhaps we can get some people out into the parks to enjoy our parks for recreation, but also want to see a way for kids to be able to get around safely on our streets. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. You know, I was quoted in a story in the Oregonian today about the need to burn off testosterone. I wasn't thinking particularly about your household, but good luck with that.
Believe me. Yes. And it's nice when we don't have to drive up an hour from the city to enjoy mountain biking. But we do, and we appreciate where we live, and we love it. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Cool.
Just one more word, if I may. Also, I would like to see not just bikes, but I would like to see wheelchair access also to a lot of the open areas. And because I know they're really lacking. You know, people need to get out of their house, they need to get out of their apartment, and they need to be able to go into a safe place where they can get into nature. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning, Barry Joe Stahl. I just wanted to make a couple of comments and kind of tie some of these issues together. The Saturday market vendor has kind of capitalized on the signs that we have here in town regarding our interface with bicyclists and rails in the street. It kind of shows the person on the bicycle with their front tire going into the rails and bailing out, and they use that with the our version of the I Love New York, which was a great piece of art, saying a lot with four symbols, saying all those things. Ours is, I crash my bike when I hit a rail in the street on my bicycle PDX. Years ago, when I was a Pacific Green Party candidate, I focused on a number of issues, and one of the ones was making bicycling safe for commuters. And since then, I got to have a fellow on his way to work as a school teacher run the stop sign, and I got to break the windshield of his car with my body and then find myself pinned in the street in my bike frame. So I know what I speak. I know what I'm working toward. And what I advocated in 2000 was what they have in Seattle and what they have in San Francisco, it's electric buses. The bus goes down the street. The UPS truck or the FedEx van goes down the street. The bicyclist goes down the street, and there's no fixed rail. The only thing that it needs really is the suspension, which we call the catenary poles. That suspends the cable. And I come from a town in western Pennsylvania that has its footprint here in the form of the suspension bridge. The St. John's Bridge was built by the Roebling Company, and our Tillicum Crossing is using cables. So the reason we use cables for tow trucks and every other thing is because they're strong and cheap, and you hang the cable out, you have the electric bus like they have, I'm repeating myself, in Seattle and in San Francisco and not in Portland, because Portland wants to put the rails so that they can monopolize the property development on those rail lines and beat up the feds saying we're doing commuter rail infrastructure where for much less effort and much safer environment we could have electric buses and catenary poles.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Well, thank you all. Unless there's any further council discussion, then this item will pass to second reading next week. Further, what was it get continued to next week, right?
Do you want to vote on your amendment?
We already voted to accept the amendment, so I think we did.
Yes, on your amendment, we did vote.
Yeah,
on
we voted to accept the amendment, so it's already in the package.
I apologize.
That's okay. So this passes to next week's calendar.